When I was in eighth grade, I remember taking a field trip to the science center. And at one point in the midst of that day, I was sitting on a bench there at the science center, waiting for something. I don't know if we were waiting to go into the planetarium or maybe waiting for the school bus to come pick us up. But I was there on that bench, and shortly after I sat down, my eighth grade teacher, Sister Morris, a school sister of Notre Dame, came over and sat right next to me. And she looked at me and very simply and very directly asked, "David, have you ever thought about becoming a priest?" And I looked at her and even more simply and more directly responded, "No." And I was honest. That possibility had never even entered my mind. And at that point, it didn't really begin to enter my mind either. It wasn't until my senior year of high school that I really opened myself to that possibility for my life. As my prayer life was growing, I started to wonder in my own mind and in my own heart if the Lord might be calling me to the priesthood. And eventually, thanks to the persistence of God, I decided I needed to give the seminary a try. I remember at the time when I was discerning my vocation, and as I was preparing to enter the seminary, I knew that celibacy was part of the package, if you will. But really, that's all it was to me at that point. I knew it was a requirement that if indeed the Lord was calling me to be a priest, then I would have to embrace celibacy. And I wasn't bitter about it. I didn't feel like it was some sort of unreasonable burden being placed upon me, but it didn't mean a whole lot to me. I figured the church just needed me to be available, and that I couldn't have my life, if you will, kind of pulled in two directions, between a family of my own and caring for a parish family. And that's part of the reason that the church calls her priests and her religious to embrace the celibate life. But as I went to the seminary, I learned that there are even more profound reasons. The priest is called to imitate Christ. There's a Christological reason for celibacy. Christ himself was a celibate man, and the priest, in imitation of him, lives that same life. There's an ecclesiological reason, a fancy word that we speak of when we talk about studying the church. The priest is called to wed himself to the church. He enters into a spousal relationship with the church and becomes a spiritual father to the people he cares for as members of the church. And then there's, as the gospel teaches us today, the eschatological reason for celibacy, another big word that simply means the end times. Our Lord told us in the gospel that those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. And the priest and the religious who live the celibate life, they point to that reality. We live, even now on earth, the life of the resurrection. Now, our Lord, when he says these words, certainly does not mean to reject the goodness and the beauty and the holiness of the married life. In other places, he exalts the married life and teaches us that marriage is a great good. Husbands and wives help one another journey towards eternal life. And in marriage, husband and wife open themselves to bring new life into the world, new souls that are also destined for eternal life. So many of you, the vast majority of Christians, are called to this beautiful and good and holy vocation of marriage. But what our Lord is teaching us in the gospel is that in eternal life, the exclusivity of the marriage covenant between husband and wife, if you will, it opens out into the inclusivity of the whole communion of saints. Heaven is the marriage feast of Christ and his church. The earthly marriage is a sign pointing to that eternal reality. Marriage as a vocation is given by God for a purpose in this life, to point to that eternal reality of the union of Christ and his church. And the celibate vocation, in its own way, points to that life, as the priest does not bind himself to one particular family so that he can belong to all. In today's second reading, St. Paul exhorted us to pray that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified. St. Paul, who himself was a celibate man, called us to pray for that. And indeed, how much do we need the word of the Lord in our day to speed forward in the midst of a world that seems so far from the Lord and growing farther every day? Every one of us has a part to play in this speeding forward of the word of the Lord. But there's a particular need for this to happen through the ministry of priests and religious in the church. And we're invited by St. Paul to pray for that in particular. This coming week, beginning today, is designated by our bishops as National Vocations Awareness Week, as our bishops invite us in a particular way this week to beg the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest, to ask him for an abundance of new vocations to the priesthood and the religious life, men and women who will be instruments through which the word of the Lord speeds forward and is glorified in our world. Each of us could, I'm sure, name and think with gratitude about the priests and religious who have been instruments of that in our life. Those men and women, priests and religious, who have helped us to grow closer to the Lord, who have made the word of the Lord speed forward and be glorified in our own lives. We all have priests and religious to whom we owe so much for that gift. And you know, the best way that we can express our gratitude to those men and women is by praying that others will follow in their footsteps and by encouraging others to follow in their footsteps. When we meet young people in whom we see the kinds of qualities that we think would make them a good priest or a good religious, we encourage them to consider that possibility for their life. That's what Sister Morris did for me when I was in eighth grade. And at that point, I wasn't ready to consider the possibility, but years later when I was, I remembered that moment. And I realized that Sister Morris saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. But I think somehow, perhaps deep in my subconscious, she planted a seed that would sprout in its own time. That was an important moment for me in discovering my own vocation. All I needed was someone to ask the question. And so, young men and women of St. Gerard Majella, I ask you the question: have you ever thought about becoming a priest or a religious sister? If not, think about it. Really, that's all the Lord asks, an openness to the possibility. If he is calling you, a willingness to say yes. And all of us, this day at this Holy Mass, let us pray, as St. Paul asks us, that the word of the Lord will speed forward and be glorified, in particular through an abundance of new vocations to the priesthood and religious life from our own parish. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.